God's word and God's people to praise together, and I thank God for letting us to be members of Cornerstone Church at least for some years, and I thank you, Church, for giving me this privilege to preach from His word. There are many priorities for spiritual life. Priority for home, priority for office, priority for school, and priority choose profession, and priority choose life partner, etc., etc. Once one college professor asked his students in their exams, "What is the name of our college PN?" No one could answer, because they only knew the names of principals and professors, but they were not bothered about the name of their PN. We check whether our kids have done their school homeworks or not, but we hardly check whether they have completed their Bible Sunday school classes lessons or not. Sometimes we put the spiritual priorities in the secondary ones. Whenever the carol singing time comes in my place, we go to place, conduct evangelistic meetings for some days, and visit some of the houses of the believers. I used to ask questions, why so many people are so regular during carol singing, but not regular throughout the year for worship? The answer was, delicious foods served in every house during Christmas. Let us turn today from God's word what should be our top priorities in our life. From 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. Turn with me your Bible from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Let me read for all of us. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Verse 7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Verse 9, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Based on the readings of these five verses, the text asks us the main question is, what are the top priorities of our lives? What are the top priorities of good servant of Christ? This text is filled with practical advice, not only for Timothy, but for any servant of the church who is charged with duty of work and leadership. Here are the three actions to practice by a servant of Christ to be a good servant. Let's see them one by one. The first action to practice by the servant of Christ is desire to grow in godliness. How did Timothy grow in godliness? Desire to grow in scriptures. The first action to practice is desire to grow in scriptures, verse 6. I jumped into verse 7, but let's see first verse 6. He followed an instruction. Verse 6, part B says, habit of loving the scriptures. We see from verse 6, part B, Timothy had been following the words of faith and sound doctrine. Here the words of faith means the Christian truth, the Bible contains all the Christian truth, the Bible contains. This is called words of faith. Timothy had received it from his grandmother and mother. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Timothy was discipled in sound doctrine also. Sound doctrine is the biblical and systematic theology the Word of God teaches. Timothy was discipled in sound doctrine by leaders at Lystra and by Paul. We come to know it from Acts chapter 16, 1 to 2 and 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Paul exhorted him in verse 6 in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Paul warned Timothy in chapter 1 and 8:4 of this 1 Timothy to warn the danger of all the false teachings and their practices who are teaching in the church celibacy and abstaining from certain foods are necessary precondition for salvation. These false teachers, these wicked teachers were actually attacking God's word and insulting God. One of the expected features of the last years by the New Testament writers was rise of false teachers and heresies before the day of the Lord. They will perform many signs and miracles to lead astray even the, if possible, elect. Around 1 month ago in Nepal, Unification Church of South Korea, a false church, conducted an international summit in which 7 country heads, including Nepal Prime Minister and President, and all the guests from 45 countries, they attended the summit. The purpose of the summit was to declare the founder's wife, Mother Moon, as the only daughter of Jesus Christ. This summit has terribly spoiled the standing of Christianity in Nepal. This false church, Unification Church of South Korea, has an organization called Universal Peace Federation. This is actively involved in teaching unbiblical things around the world, over 155 countries. So situation at Ephesus and around the world should cause us to think seriously. And God is always looking for men and women who will be instruments in this world. But the terrible fact is that even if Satan is also looking for men and women to use, here is a great challenge and responsibility for you and me. Further, Paul exhorts Timothy to gently correct the believers. Otherwise, these false teachings and practices may lead many astray from the faith. Therefore, continually feeding on the words of truth was essential to every believer. Ephesians 4:14 says, because all believers are not to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrines, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. It is more essential of spiritual leader like Timothy. And it is also essential for you and me. Paul, by saying in verse 6, constantly be nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine, he is encouraging Timothy and all the believers to study for themselves the words of faith and sound doctrine. Even it is essential for us that we continue to feed our mind and our heart on God's word through every means, through hearing, through reading, through studying, through memorizing, through meditating it. Let me here mention an analogy of a cup of tea. I'm taking some medicine and so mouth is something, it's dried, and so pray for me, I'm a little bit having some dry mouth. Let me here and mention of an analogy of cup of tea, which is written by Donald Whitney in his book Discipline for the Christian Life. He says, suppose you are a cup of hot water and receiving God's word is represented by a tea bag. Receiving God's word is like one dip of a tea bag into the hot water. In this analogy, receiving God's word and hearing and reading and studying are represented by additional plunges of the tea bag. The more the tea bag enters into the cup, the more effect it has. At one plunge, all the tea flavor is not absorbed, but the many plunges causes the tea bag's flavor is absorbed. And the meditation is like letting completely absorb all the tea bag into the cup so that the tea's flavor, the rich flavor, is totally absorbed by the hot water. Here the point is, why should we desire for the scripture? Why is it important that we should desire for scripture? There are so many reasons. Let me read, Psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. I think this is, many of you have memorized it. And same Psalm, in verse 18, Psalmist prays, Lord, open my mouth so that I may see wondrous things, wonderful things from your law. As most of us know that we have been here having Bible study at Cornerstone Church every Wednesday, and we have finished chapter 19. As we had been studying, I was so much blessed to know who am I, who God is, and what He is doing in the world, and how He controls all the rulers of the world, and how even Satan is under His control, and how He will end up all this world and create new heaven and new earth. I was so blessed. I have been blessed. I'm being blessed so much. And it enriches our faith and helps us to grow in our Christian life. Let us observe our life this morning. Are you meditating God's word every day? One chapter, two chapters, three chapters. Or making excuses. If you are not spending time with God's word, there will not be any connection between prayers and God's word. Because all the prayers are originated from God's word. Are you growing in the knowledge of the scripture of God's word? And stable in the doctrinal instructions you are getting from the Bible and from your pastor? And are we passing spiritual truth to our children to prepare for the next generation leaders? Love for the scripture was the one of the top priorities of the first century believers. It should be our priorities today. Not only a good servant of Christ desires to grow in scriptures, secondly, he desires to grow in godliness. Let's see from verses 7 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 9. Verse 7, part B. How does he grow in godliness? Three decisions he takes to grow in godliness. The first decision, he avoids distractions. To grow in godliness, first decision he takes is to avoid distractions. Let me read verse 7, part B. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. This is pointing to a process of godliness. We can never say, I have achieved, I have enough. Godliness is a lifelong process. Before we grow in godliness, discipline is required. Discipline means discarding hindrances. In addition to grow in scripture, every believer must avoid distractions like teachings of the false teachers and their practices. Paul condemns such teachings. Thank you, brother. Paul condemns such teachings and practices as worldly myths, something unholy and unreal. The phrase here used in verse 7, part B, fit for only old women. Here, nobody is old women here. The phrase, fit for only old women, have nothing to do with worldly fables, which are only fit for old women. It's a nickname indicating something for the uneducated and reasonably inexperienced. When I was a 12 years young boy, I used to see in my village some old grandmas gathering in one place and chatting and pipe smoking for many hours. The phrase old women also means, here implies, the silly talks. Today we may not be directly influenced by false teachers or their teachings, but certainly we are surrounded by our family members, our classmates, our relatives, and our co-workers, our Christian friends, even our mobile. To some extent, they are against the truth of God's truth. And they want somehow to divert us from the truth. And to some extent, we are affected by them. You must be able to choose which to take and which to avoid. But it must be done constantly in light of God's word. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says to Corinthian church, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. The second decision he makes to grow in godliness is exercise discipline. Let's see from verse 7, part B. Paul tells Timothy, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Discipline means to train or exercise is from Greek word gymnazo, from which we get the English word gymnasium. This means to train, a person trains or undergoes a self-sacrificing training. A Christian is not an athlete of gymnasium. He is the athlete of God. Here question may arise, then what is godliness? Godliness is, a simple meaning of godliness is a lifestyle lived in obedience to the good biblical teaching. It is. Further, godliness is a right attitude and response to God. It is our heart, it is our character, and it is the aim of every Christian. 2 Peter 1, 4 to 8 says, you can open your Bible also, 2 Peter 1, 4 to 8, I'm just paraphrasing some of the verses. Godliness is escaping from the lustful corruption of the world, and aid in our faith, moral excellence. Some of you are still turning, 2 Peter 1, 4 to 8. Godliness is escaping from the lustful corruption of the world and aid in our faith, moral excellence, in moral excellence, knowledge, in knowledge, self-control, in self-control, perseverance, and in perseverance, godliness. So much to aid here in our godliness. A good servant of Christ desires to grow in godliness. To be more useful and fruitful, we are supposed to aid brotherly kindness and love on godliness. To be more useful and fruitful. Even on godliness, we are supposed to aid brotherly kindness and love. We all are in spiritual race, and our goal is to be like Christ. God's servant Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do to receive an imperishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Dear brothers and sisters, discipline requires or involves hard work, and it also means acting against our feelings. We feel sleep more in the morning, but our aim is to be godly. So what we do? We just get out of the bed, take a Bible, and spend time with the Lord. And it is always not easy. Especially for seminary students, it's very difficult. Get up early in the morning, study till late night, and get up early in the morning. But our aim is to be godly, and we have to do it. But it always produces the fruit of godliness if we exercise discipline in our life. I had heard about Professor Chris is very strict in the seminary. I was scared. But as I spent time with him in the classes, I came to know why he is so much strict with the students. In one of our classes, he explained the higher qualifications of pastors and elders. And whenever he comes to teach us at PTS, he tells us, unless you are a disciplined person in every area of your life, you cannot be Christ's servant. And he says, because you have a higher goal and call from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if athletes put themselves through years of hard work and training to get a perishable gold medal, should not we be willing to pay price to be godly? Let's think this morning, what are good but not necessarily sinful hindrances. Good, but not sinful, but not necessarily sinful hindrances we face daily to grow against godliness. Is it your work, friends, or habits, or relatives, some mobile apps, WhatsApp, Facebook, or some other books if you read besides Bible? What are your hindrances? And make decision this morning. After coming PTS, I decided not to use Facebook because it consumes my more time, which I can use to read some other good books and develop in godliness. The third decision to grow in godliness is focus on Christ's promises. To be good servant of Christ Jesus, a man and woman of God, not only desires to grow in Scripture, desires to be godly by avoiding distractions, exercising discipline, but also he or she focuses on Christ's promises. Let's see from verse 8 and 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the same verse, passage verses 4, 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also life to come. Here Paul is not despising physical exercise. Rather, he is comparing between physical exercise and spiritual exercise. Physical body is part of our stewardship of life. We should be good stewards of our life also, our body the Lord has given us. But this is not our priority. Godliness is priority. Physical training is essential and it is good. But it has a very limited use. And it develops only a part of man. And it produces only short-time result. On the other hand, godliness develops the whole man in body, in mind, and in spirit. And it produces not only the results for this present life, but for eternity as well. At pastoral training seminary, we do both exercise, physical and spiritual exercise. Jesus said in Mark 10, 29 and 30, anyone who has left house, father, mother, farm, etc., for the sake of gospel, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, and children and palms, along with persecution no one likes, in the age to come, eternal life, which everyone likes. Let us move to the next verse. Verse 9. It is a trustworthy saying, statement deserving full acceptance. The trustworthy saying of verse 9 is supporting verse 8. The verse 8 which says, we recently read it, godliness is profitable for all things, which is based on the scriptures. To be godly, to be good servant of Christ, we saw a man of God does three actions. First action is desire for scripture. Second, desire for godliness. And thirdly, desires for hard work. Let's see verse 10. For this we labor and strive, for it is for this We labor and strive because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. This verse indicates the basis of whole matter. What we read from verses 4 to 10, this indicates the basis of whole matter. Somebody said, the greatness of goal makes the toil worthwhile. Here the word labor, for this we labor and strive. In Greek it means to work to the point of weariness. And strive is agony. From Greek agonizomai, English word we get agony, which means to suffer reproach. We know from the life of Paul, God's servant, he suffered and he labored so much for God's kingdom. Let me tell about something about Pastor Sami, who is not here. I can talk something good about him. Once one student told me in PTS, brother, I never saw him drinking water in the class and going washroom for 1 year. And I also told him, yes, brother, I also didn't see him drinking water in the class and going to washroom for 2 years. And one day, he had severe eye pain in the class, and we told him, sir, better take rest. No, he told, no, I'll come in the afternoon. Here I am not actually praising, exalting Pastor Sami, but I am praising and exalting the God who is working through this man. The point is that we should know the value of laboring and striving for the God's kingdom, because we know our labor is not in vain. Why does a servant of Christ desire to work hard? Two reasons Paul gives in verse 10. Verse 10 says, God is Savior of especially believers. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 also says, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The first reason a servant of Christ desires to grow hard work is believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul and his team knew they were saved by the grace of Christ with a greater responsibility to praise Christ. The second reason for good servant of God to work hard is unbelievers will face God's eternal judgment. Verse 10 says, Savior of all men, God is the Savior of all men. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade man. We know the only living and true God, and we worship Him, and we have the hope, eternal hope. But those who do not know Lord Jesus, they do not have hope for future. So verse 10 gives us a very clear picture of urgent goal. Because thousands of people in every generation, they are perishing without knowing Jesus or without understanding Him properly. God's word in Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, Romans 10 and 14 and 15 says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Brothers and sisters, The questions may come, whom to preach? There are many people in your friendship circle, in your office, in your neighbor, in your relatives, college, school, or while you are traveling, you will meet many people who do not have heard Lord Jesus, or they have not heard properly. I have found Nepalis in Goa, whenever I talk with them, they have not heard gospel properly. They have only heard about Christians, this is that religion, foreign religion, this and that, but not heard the proper gospel. Sometimes we assume that they are in Goa and they know gospel very nicely. And we don't try to share gospel with them. I am not saying here that you must be busy all the time preaching Christ and go everywhere. I am not saying that. But what lesson we can draw from God's word, from verse 10, use the opportunities God gives you wherever you are. I was very glad on 21st night we went to sing carols and visit some houses, and you invited some of your neighbors, and Pastor Sammy, he preached from God's word, and they could understand what is the real Christmas. You may have heard one story. Let me tell it again. Once an old man saw a young boy picking up starfish and throwing back into the ocean. And seeing that young boy, old man said, "There must be tens of thousands of starfish on the beach. I am afraid that you will be able to make much of a difference." The young boy paused and looked at that man and said, "The tide has washed up starfish onto the beach. They can't return to the sea by themselves unless I throw them back." And again that young boy bent down and picked up another starfish and he threw back into the water. And he looked at that old man and said, "It made a difference to that one." Brothers and sisters, you and I can make a difference to one soul. Are you concerned about perishing souls? Throughout the church history, many men and women of God have left their comfort zone to labor and strive for the Master. If you do not have burden for the souls, ask the Lord, "Lord, fill my heart with passion and boldness to preach Christ." Because it's a very urgent goal. And the Bible says everyone must get opportunity to hear the gospel, to answer to God. And everyone has to participate in this task. Because God's word says we'll have to give an account to God. C.T. Studd, a British missionary, Protestant Christian missionary, who was one of the Cambridge Seven, who had offered to Hudson Taylor China Inland Mission. He also served in Christ. He served Christ in Africa and India. Writes in his poem, let me read some of the stanzas of his poem. "Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice. And the bidding means selfish aims to leap and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May the Lord help us as we enter into this new year 2019. May the Lord give us desire to grow in scripture, to grow in godliness, and to grow in do hard work for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. You have once again spoken to us through your word. Lord Jesus, you are the treasures of all wisdom and knowledge. Help us, Lord, to desire to grow in godliness to the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us enough strength and willingness so that, Lord, we will do hard work for your kingdom to be good servants of Christ. Thank you for this time, being with us. Rest of the time we commit into your hands. I ask this prayer in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.